surprised by that move? Or, I mean, he's got an NFL background.
He does, but I mean, pick a team and play. Goodness gracious.
It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast.
Welcome back, sports fans. It is Super Bowl week. Super Bowl 58 will take place in a matter of days, pitting the Kansas City Chiefs against the San Francisco 49ers, a game that on paper looks like it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely.
You've got defense, you got offense, you've got Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy facing up against future Hall of Famer Patrick Mahomes. I had to stop and think for a second. I almost said, why did I want to say Britney Spears? Who is that? Taylor Swift. That's who
Taylor Swift. There you go.
Anyway.
Taylor Swift's friend's husband. That's who we're talking about. That's
Have you had enough of the commentary and all the background stories, that human interest pieces?
Yes, I am ready to watch actual football. Let's keep it moving. That's all good stuff. I enjoy some of the stories. You get to learn some of the backgrounds. It's kind of like the whole, some of the stuff that SportsCenter does, SportsCenter Game Day does on Saturday morning, where you learn, you know, a little bit more about some of the players that are going to be part of the big games. But at some point, let's just play football, because, you know, Game Day is only 4 hours. This is 2 weeks. Goodness gracious. Let's play ball. I'm ready to watch a ball game.
That might be something we dig into in a future episode. What propelled them? What was the rationale behind the two-week window there between the AFC-NFC Conference Championship games and the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that would be. I mean, there was a transition in the Pro Bowl, and because it hasn't always been 2 weeks, has it?
Yeah, it has been for a while. But what we've also seen is the increasing number of games. The schedule is being pushed back, where the Super Bowl was much earlier, a week or two. The further back you go, you see the different dates, to now February 11th.
Yep. It's really incredible. It's kind of like we've talked about, I don't think we've talked about it on here, but looking at next year's college football playoff and how far those games, you know, we get excited about spring football. These seasons keep expanding. They'll be finishing up in spring football. Yeah.
I mean, the 14th is Ash Wednesday. It's also Valentine's Day, guys. That's a nice reminder.
It's public service announcement.
If the Super Bowl outlasts Mardi Gras, then we've crossed a line. There's no coming back from that.
I agree completely. That's a great point.
Well, enough about the Super Bowl. In other news, let's go back to the college football ranks. Liam Cohen, the offensive coordinator at Kentucky, is leaving the Wildcats program to take a position with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe he's going to be calling the plays down in Tampa Bay, isn't he?
Yep, he'll be the OC.
Surprised by that move? Or, I mean, he's got an NFL background.
He does, but I mean, pick a team and play. Goodness gracious, you know, because he was with the Rams and came to Kentucky and then left to go back and then came to Kentucky and now he's leaving to go to Tampa. I mean, Mark Stoops has got to be going, okay, we tried this thing. Just stay. Don't come back to Lexington. Sell your house, whatever. This deal's done. We're not playing this game anymore. We're not going to ask you back next year, because that's, you cannot build stability, no matter how good things were when he was there, if he's just going to look to get back to the NFL every year. So go on. We'll find someone that wants to be on the college level, that wants to recruit. Wish you well. Surely to goodness, that's got to be the last conversation they're going to have about him working with at Kentucky, I would think.
Have you ever seen resumes of people where they leave every 2 or 3 years?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's kind of, your point is spot on, Darren. You know, at some point you got to decide, you know, Do you want to be at this school or you want to be in the NFL? Make a decision. Moving on south of Kentucky, down in Auburn, Alabama, Hugh Freeze announced the hiring of DJ Durkin as a defensive coordinator for the Tigers. Mm-hmm. Durkin is no stranger to the SEC. He's been at several schools and pretty successful as a DC at all of those schools.
Yeah, I think it's – I mean, you can't necessarily say it's a bad hire. I don't think it's an aggressive hire by any means. I think it's probably a safe hire because even if his defense is not great, I think he has got enough of a track record that his defense is not going to be bad. So probably in the early stages of things and just wanting to stabilize and build, that's probably what Hugh Freeze is thinking. So at this point in the game, where you are in the year, the candidates are out there, it's probably the best available option. But, you know, DJ Durkin was hired away from Ole Miss to go to Texas A&M and hopefully turn that defense around. And they had some good defensive years, but didn't really have the years that you kind of thought they would. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out at Auburn. Hopefully for Hugh Freeze and the Auburn fans, it works out better than it appears, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
A lot of turmoil down in Auburn.
Oh yeah.
Revolving door on the coaching staff. Maybe Durkin mm-hmm. can provide some stability for that program.
Hopefully so.
Staying in the state of Alabama, some less than positive news.
Yeah.
The whole Brad Bohannon saga seems to have come to a conclusion. Darren, what are you hearing about the former Alabama baseball coach?
Well, according to the NCAA, their final ruling is that he completely and totally broke the rules and provided information, insider information, to someone who is, according to the NCAA, that he knew was actively engaged in betting. He let someone know that their starting pitcher was hurt, and that person went and made $100,000 bet. They only allowed him to make like $10,000 bet, but still, it's what everything hinged from. And so with those results or those findings, he is now placed on a 15-year show cause, which, Ben, I don't know about you, but it doesn't matter what sport and what it is. I've never heard of a 15-year show cause for a coach. So that's incredible. But I think it also shows with where things are with legal betting everywhere, this is the NCAA really trying to say we're going to make this point. And because the additional level of that is if a school were to decide we're going to hire this guy, we're going to go through the show cause process, we're going to bring him on board, the moment he is hired, he is instantly suspended for 5 years and cannot coach until that 5-year suspension is served. So even if somebody wants to go through show calls and hire him, he still can't coach for another 5 years. So it's obviously a very severe punishment that has been handed down. Gotta believe that's because it's dealing in the gambling world and it across all sports, obviously NIL, transfer portal, all of those things. Outside of those things, the gambling and where it is now is obviously one of the big things that the NCAA is facing. So I think they're trying to make a point with this punishment and 15-year show calls with an automatic 5-year suspension. They're making a point.
Much like the point was made with Pete Rose in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
However, Darren, Pandora's box has been opened here. Yeah. You cannot watch a sporting event without multiple ads for online betting.
Right.
It is all over the place.
Yep.
People are doing it from their mobile devices using apps. This is going to continue to be a problem. The NCAA, yep, professional sports, has gotten into bed with a snake, and that snake, yep, is eventually going to rear back and bite.
Yeah.
I'm very concerned. I don't see any way that you can really, now that that box has been opened, that you can really, really put what has been unleashed back into the box.
Yeah, and you know, it was already an issue even before it was legal, and even before there was so much intermingling of you know, gambling sites being sponsors and, you know, leagues being in Las Vegas, all that stuff. You had the Pete Rose thing. You had the, you know, the NFL referee, or nope, let's try that again. The NBA referee in that situation, remember several years ago where he was terminated because they felt like he was influencing games and stuff like those things were already happening. And now you've got it down into the college level where, you know, kids are making bets and all this. There is going to be something that makes the Pete Rose and that kind of stuff look like nothing, look like child's play. Unfortunately, I hope not, but I feel like that's a pretty safe prognostication, unfortunately. And I think you're exactly right that is one of the things we really are looking at as reality.
We have seen this before years ago at Tulane, the basketball program. Remember John Hot Rod Williams and the point shaving scandal?
That's right. Yep.
And I understand these are businesses and people have every right, if they want to participate in these businesses and the services they offer. My concern is how do you protect the integrity of sports? Right. And
absolutely.
That's I'm not sure is going to be possible in the current scenario without some major changes.
I agree completely.
Let's move over to the top 25 Associated Press men and women's basketball. And we're going to start with the men SEC. Tennessee, number 6, coming off a big win against Kentucky in Lexington.
That's right.
Which Rick Barnes did a great job. Tennessee shot lights out, 12 three-pointers, something insane like that.
Yeah.
A very, very good volunteer basketball team. Auburn at number 12. Congratulations, South Carolina at number 15, the first time in the top 25 since 2017. Kudos to Lamont Paris and the job he's doing with the South Carolina Gamecocks. They're not just rooting for the women's team this year in South Carolina.
No, that's right.
Alabama at number 16, Nate Oates. Everything that they lost last year, and look at what Alabama is doing. At the top of the SEC, Nate Oates is doing a phenomenal job. I can't wait till Wednesday of this week, Darren.
Yep.
Just, a day or two away?
Mm-hmm.
12th-ranked Auburn, 16th-ranked Alabama. It's going to be a great ball game to watch.
Yeah, I tell you what, if I'm Auburn, I am terrified of Nate Oates and that offense, what they can do on the offensive end of the floor, because it's not just about them being good shooters. Man, can they the plays they run, the sets they run, and the way they crash the offensive boards to keep it on that end of the floor, they are impressive on that end of the floor. And if I'm Auburn, I'm extremely afraid of what Alabama is gonna bring to the table in that game.
It'll be a fun one to watch.
Yep, definitely.
And then rounding out the top 25, Kentucky coming in at number 17, Big Blue Nation. Somewhat disappointing. Rupp Arena used to be an intimidating place to play, Darren, but not so much anymore.
No, it's we were discussing a stat earlier, and we saw it on Twitter. I believe the account that I saw retweet it was the Big Blue Nation Shuttle Bus or something like that was the name of the Twitter account. Try to give credit where credit is due, that in the last 5 years, they have lost 12 games to unranked opponents in Rupp Arena, 12 games to unranked opponents.
We'll keep our eyes to see how Kentucky does down the stretch as we head on into March Madness. Over on the women's side of the top 25, South Carolina maintains somewhat of a stranglehold on number 1.
Yeah, definitely.
Continuing to dominate. Texas at number 7. LSU slipped down to number 13 after back-to-back losses before coming back and setting their record for points scored in a game.
Yeah.
Just drumming a Florida team.
Yeah, that was ugly.
And I really think what's going to come down to for LSU, and Kim Mulkey knows a lot more about basketball than I do, but what I think she's trying to figure out is where to put everybody, and it's become obvious that Haley Van Lith will excel if you put her back to her natural position.
Yep.
Get her away from playing the point, which is not where she really excels. And if LSU can figure that out, look out for them come March.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the things that Kim Mulkey does. It's not, you know, to see her make adjustments and rearrange and shift people around, and then all of a sudden, here they come. you know, as we get closer to SEC tournament play, they've got things figured out, and you've got people playing at a level they haven't played at all season long. That won't be surprising in any way if that's what happens.
Rounding out the women's AP top 25, as far as SEC teams are concerned, 24th ranked Oklahoma Sooners, and that's your women's side of the top 25. We've got a lot more to talk about today, but before we move on, let's pause for This Week in Sports History.
February 7th, 1893, Vanderbilt University participates in the first ever intercollegiate basketball game. The game took place at the gymnasium of the Nashville YMCA between the YMCA team and Vanderbilt. The local newspaper, the Nashville Republican Banner, covered the game and reported, "The game of basketball at the YMCA gymnasium last night between the Vanderbilts and the association team was witnessed by a large audience who greatly enjoyed the first public exhibition of this new game. The game featured 9 players, and each basket counted for 3 points. The game was described as resembling football in many ways, but according to the banner, it was not nearly so dangerous to life and limb as football. The Vanderbilts were the victors by the score of 9-3. While the game does not receive the historical recognition of the April 8, 1893 Geneva Hills basketball game, it took place almost 2 months prior."
Oh, thank you.
A major announcement was made this week. The SEC and the Big Ten are forming a joint advisory council to deal with the issues currently circulating around the NCAA, NIL, transfer portal, among other things. And we're going to get into a discussion about this, but an interesting note happened on Monday involving Dartmouth. I bet you didn't think that we would have breaking NCAA news out of Dartmouth. This comes from the Associated Press. A National Labor Relations Board, I think it was a regional official, ruled that Dartmouth basketball players are employees of the school. That enables them to have an election to create a first ever union for NCAA athletes. And the Associated Press story goes on to say, unionizing would allow players to negotiate over salaries, working conditions, including practice hours, travel. Now, the reason we bring this up is this could avalanche throughout the NCAA. What started up at Dartmouth could easily gain footing. How does this relate, Darren, to the news about the SEC and the Big Ten forming this joint council?
You know, it all goes back to NIL. It all goes back to the players, the argument that's been made for years from the player side. You've got players creating enormous amounts of revenue for the individual school that they play for, and the NCAA saying, but don't you dare give them a ham sandwich. That's a violation. You know, don't you dare, you know, give them gas money. That's a violation. So you take your, you know, $78 or $91.2 million check from your conference, but don't you dare. And so that's where NIL is born from. So to me, this is a natural progression of the whole NIL conversation. The interesting thing is, how does it all work together? Because one is not necessarily mutually exclusive of the other. If there is a contract or a process that starts to fall into place with each one of these schools, where every single school, the athletes become employees, there is a labor agreement in place, there is a labor union, there is revenue sharing and all that stuff, that doesn't necessarily eliminate NIL. It just adds another layer. I'm sure that the schools probably would prefer that it eliminate NIL, but those two things are still kind of hand in hand and are going to create, it's going to create even more difficulty. So let's shift that to this whole SEC Big Ten. The NCAA is very obviously having trouble navigating the waters of NIL. I do think you have to mention transfer portal exacerbating that a little bit. NIL is its own separate issue and would be an issue even if there was not a transfer portal. But I think the transfer portal adds layers of difficulty to NIL because you've got, you know, the conversations. Well, if you're going to have a, if you're going to bring a good quarterback, if you're going to bring a, you know, a third year quarterback to your school, you better be prepared to write a $10 million check. There is no way that's not enticement, which isn't supposed to happen. So it just adds even more layers of difficulty to everything that the NCAA is trying to navigate. So then when you, if you go that next step with everything that's going on with Dartmouth and add employees now, where there's a labor union, there's a labor contract, there's revenue sharing, whatever it is, the NCAA has already shown prior to NIL that they are not going to do well at adjusting and navigating and ultimately, air quotes, legislating, keeping the game on track. I think what the SEC and the Big Ten are doing is saying to the NCAA, we are laying the groundwork. And I don't even know that it's a threat as much as it is to get the NCAA's attention, maybe. We are laying the groundwork to take care of things ourselves if we have to. Because obviously, I mean, you know, you've got all of this stuff going on with NIL, and it, sometimes it feels like it changes daily. And then you've got the NCAA going after people, going after schools and suspending assistant coaches because a player was given a ride to meet with an agent about an NIL deal. You've got Tennessee, you know, being handed down all of these violations that include, you know, I think one of them that I heard about or read about over the weekend is Nico got a private jet trip to come to Knoxville to sign his NIL contract. And they're trying to lay that on the school when it was all the NIL. And that's seen as an enticement. And the NCAA is still sitting kind of up in their ivory tower, handing out this legislative power. And in Tennessee, at Vanderbilt fans, earmuffs, I promise I won't do this again. Tennessee has every right to be upset. Because I think their AD, Danny White, said it best, you've created a moving target, and then when we fire and miss because you move the target, you're going to come and punish us. That's ridiculous. So I think with everything that's going on, Florida, you know, is looking at allegations, and Tennessee is obviously a big deal. I think the two biggest players in the game have said, we're starting the process. We're going to put together an independent council made up of our crew, you know, of our two conferences that are going to review everything you're reviewing and you're handing to us. And we're going to make adjustments and we're going to try to figure this thing out, even if we have to do it on our own. That part, last part, may be left implied so as to not sound threatening per se. But I still think very much implied. I think the NCAA, we'll go some old school WWE references. We're getting into WrestleMania season because it's the spring if you're a WWE fan. I think the NCAA very much smells what The Rock is cooking. Okay. And they, it doesn't have to be said out loud.
This strikes me, Darren, the SEC Big Ten Council, almost as a vote of no confidence in the NCAA.
Agree completely.
This is a power struggle like we've never seen before in college athletics. You have the two biggest, most influential money makers, the two conferences that pretty much dominate, are joining forces.
Yep.
And you're right. The NCAA for years, and they're doing it right now with Tennessee. Yep. And maybe this is the SEC and the Big Ten saying, you know, enough is enough, because you got Tennessee is the big one right now in the SEC, but look at what the Big Ten is, or what the NCAA is doing with Michigan.
Yeah.
So maybe these conferences are saying, we've had enough of this. And I don't know if this is a fight. I know people will say NCAA is going to win this, but I don't think we've ever had two conferences with this much power aligned together. The NCAA might lose this battle.
And the structure is already there. I mean, the NCAA basically has nothing to do from a fan's perspective. Let's say it that way. From a fan's perspective, the NCAA has nothing to do with with college football anyway. If you talk about college football, you talk about the conferences and you talk about the college football playoff. I mean, all of that is set up and it has a structure. You know, there would need to be some kind of independent council, independent body, which they're talking about right now, probably some kind of commissioner. But everything is laid out for them, college football, to just step away. And I think they've just like you said, they've put those first steps in place. And the NCAA, if I'm the NCAA, this has really got my attention, because the NCAA is a $1 billion organization. That's true. But a whole lot of money walks if the SEC and the Big Ten walks. They are no longer a $1 billion organization.
Yeah.
If those two walk.
It's going to be very intriguing to watch how all this plays out. Definitely. A lot of conversations will take place in private that we will never hear about.
Yeah. And are already taking place.
Well, that's a wrap on this week's episode of the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. Thank you for tuning in and watching and supporting us. Be sure to hit that like button, that subscribe button. Stay up to date with anything that we release. When you subscribe, you will always be notified so you don't miss anything. We appreciate your support so, so very much. And until next week, y'all take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or text to our text line, 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. See you next week.